Amen. Praise the Lord. God has called us not just to be meeting together, although we are commanded to do that, but as you've seen in this video, God has called us to go out to, what did he say, the highways and the hedges, right? And compel them to come in. And I really believe that God is setting us ablaze. Everybody say ablaze. To fulfill the Great Commission. And we can start right in our backyard. God, that is what God is calling us to do. And so I am excited about what God is doing in our hearts and in our lives. Okay, how many here likes baseball? Yeah, some of us do. Me and Danielle went to Turner Field, and this is their last season, and they're going to be moving up north. Not way up north, but just a county up north. And so we went down there, and see, I'm from Benton, and I'm not used to driving in Atlanta. All I can say is thank God for GPS. So we're driving down to Atlanta. We get down there. We got to look for the green parking lot. They have a silver parking lot, a gold parking lot, a green parking lot. I mean, they got all kinds of different parking lots down there. And so I'm from a small town, not used to driving in Atlanta, and I'm going around the same block like 80,000 times. And so I stop, and I'm asking everyone. I'm asking these people, hey, how do you get to the green parking lot? Three lights down, two lights right. I said it real fast, and I'm like, oh my gosh, what does that mean? I'm under pressure. People are behind me. They're honking their horn. Oh my gosh, where am I going? And so I'm trying to find my way around. I'm going around, you know, and people are really, I mean, they're nice enough to actually try to give me directions, but they say it really fast, and they're trying to get you out of the way. Even the police officer is saying, you got to go, buddy, you got to go. And I'm like, ugh. And so we finally find the green parking lot. Hallelujah. We find it. And but you know, we were always confronted by some kind of an advertisement as we were on our way to Turner Field. But also on the outskirts of the stadium, we were confronted with bottle of water, a dollar, bottle of water. And people were trying to sell stuff to us, and they would not leave us alone. Because we already had bottles of water in the lunchbox that I packed. Because I found out you could take food to the baseball game and water. So I thought, well, why pay for this stuff when I can, you know, when I already have it? Amen. Amen. And so we get bombarded with all this advertisement, with all these people trying to get us things. And I thought, man, what if we were like that with people with the gospel? And I was like, man, these people are, man, they are determined to give you a bottle of water for a fee, right? We should be determined to give the people gospel for free. Amen. We should be so determined in our hearts. And it's amazing what they would do. And when we walked in, you know, there was the people that try to sell the hot dogs and the drinks, you know, as they go up the bleachers, they're saying, hot dog, get your hot dog, or, you know, whatever. Get your drink, you know, get your water. And so they were doing that all the time. And I thought, man, they are relentless in getting you to buy something from them. And I thought, is the church relentless? With a great commission? Is the church relentless and determined with giving people the gospel? Do we care more? Listen, I love going to church, but do we care more about going to church rather than being the church? Do we care more about sitting on a pew or a chair just listening to a three-point sermon that's 30 minutes long? Or do we rather see people saved and have a conversation with them instead of lecturing them all the time? Are you with me? The church was designed for community and conversation, not for lectures and loneliness. And there are people, listen, it is easy to preach at people, but when you actually have a conversation with them and say, hey, buddy, I've been where you have. Let's talk about the Lord. Let me talk with you for a little bit. And when people, listen, it is not my desire to create a culture of holier than thou. Oh, man, that is the least. I do not want to create a culture of I'm holier than you, I'm better than you. Listen, if you would do what I do, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in. Listen, it is not my desire to create a culture that way. It is my desire to create a culture that welcomes sinners, that welcomes addicts, that welcomes drunks, that welcomes anybody from any part, wherever they're from, whoever they are, no matter what they've done. We are called to witness and called to show them love. But a lot of times we get caught up in, we got to get the programs together. We got to get the events together. We got to get all this stuff together. We get it all together and it's insider-ish. Are you with me? And so we build programs and we build events that only serve our needs and not the community's needs. But if we would understand that the Great Commission is all about us setting up events and programs that facilitate the presence of God, that will get the prodigal son, that will reach out to the prodigals, that will reach out to those. Some of them, they won't even go to church. Do you know why? Do you know why? Because there's not an atmosphere that facilitates the presence of God. There's not an atmosphere of love. There's not an atmosphere of service. Because you have Christians bickering at each other and they're fighting over each other over things that won't matter one day. And I see them back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. What about the prodigal? What about the person that's lost? What about the person who's never been in the church doors? What about those people? Why don't we focus on the lost? Because if we focus on the lost, we won't be so self-sufficient and self-serving. We will be able to fulfill the command that God has given us. And God is calling the church not to be self-serving, not to be self-sufficient, but focusing on the needs of other people. Listen, we don't exist for ourselves. We exist for a greater cause, a greater purpose, a greater person. We exist to glorify God. And if we're insider-ish, we don't glorify God. But if we include the community and go out into the community, the highways and the hedges, and compel them to come in, then we are really fulfilling the mission and the vision that God has given us. Listen, it's not about how many you can put in a chair or how many you can put in a pew, but it's about how many are transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's all about spiritual transformation. Listen, it's really not about numbers and things like that. It is about the number of people that are being changed by the power of God. Amen, church. And in Acts chapter 8, we see Philip. He leads a city-wide revival. And he runs up on a man who is by himself in the desert. It says, now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is the desert. Next verse. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. Isn't it interesting that he came to Jerusalem to worship? And he wasn't even baptized yet. And oh, y'all get that. He wasn't even baptized yet. He didn't even have anybody to guide him. Next verse. And was returning and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. By the way, I just want to throw this in. You can still preach out of the Old Testament and people get saved. Yeah. You can still preach out. It's called the Word of God, right? Okay, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Okay, so he's running to the chariot. He overtakes the chariot. I don't know, I can just picture it in my mind. He's probably not real nice about it. He's just like, halt, stop. I got something really important to tell you. Next verse. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. There are people. Listen, me and Danielle, we went down there. We had the tickets. I already paid for the tickets. And when we got into the stadium, listen, we had a desire to find the seats, but I couldn't even find the seats. So couldn't find the seats. So I'm down there, and I asked one of the workers, genius, What a great idea. I asked one of the workers, the employees, and she says, well, if you just follow that tunnel right there, you'll take, just go up these steps and it'll be real easy to find. Be easy to find. See, we had a desire to find our seats because we already purchased the tickets. But there was somebody there that was willing to give us some guidance, direction, to lead us to our seats. And listen, we had the desire to find the seats, but we needed some kind of guide to take us there. This is why the church exists. Amen. Right? This is, we need direction. The people need direction. They need guidance. And so there are people out there, they have a desire. They have a desire to find their seat in the house of God. And you better not let me hear you say somebody got my seat. You can just sit on the floor. Right? And so the lady, she was nice. She said with a smile, you know, she wasn't mean about it. Some people are mean about their salvation. I'm saved and I'm mad and I want everybody to know. Right? But she was nice and she led us to our seat. Right? She led us to our seat. And see, we had the desire. And there are people out there, they have a desire, but they have no one to guide them. And there are people, listen, there are people that have been saved for years and years and still are not willing to give people direction and guidance to the desire that they already have. I've done preached, haven't I? Done preached. And so God is calling every one of us, even if you've been saved a year, even if you've been saved 5 years, 10 years, you are called to be fishers of men. If you are not fishing for men, you are not following Jesus, because that is what Jesus told Matthew and them. He said, follow me. He told Peter, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. You cannot follow Jesus and not be a fisherman at the same time. Preach on, Brother Sam. And so God is calling us to fulfill the Great Commission by going out. And you say, well, I don't feel like it. I just don't know if I feel. Listen, you might say, I'm an introvert. I'm not an extrovert. Listen, that is not a good excuse at all. It is not a good excuse, because God has called every believer. It's not up to the pastor. It's not up to the apostle. It's not up to the prophet. It's not up to the teacher, right? It's not up to any of those, the fivefold office. It's not up. It is up to the believers. Listen, it's called the royal priesthood. We all have access to the throne room of God. And if we all have access to the throne room of God, I believe that we can actually show other people that they too can have access to the throne room of God. Right? But we always tell people what we know instead of letting them know we care. But if you let them know we care, then they'll be interested in knowing what you know. But we always hold up these signs and say, God hates you. God doesn't hate you. God loves you. God wants the best for you. God has a plan for you. Listen, people that hold those signs up all the time and always preaching at people, always cutting them down, always guilt tripping them. Listen, they don't even know how to hold a conversation. They don't know anything about community. All they know is loneliness, and they are holier than you. But God has called people that will rise up to the occasion and actually look at people face to face and treat them like a human being, treat them like a person, and talk, and not talk to them like they're a dog, but talk to them like they are made in the likeness and the image of God. Everyone is created in the likeness of God. Hallelujah. And so I see some people, they don't treat them right. They look at them differently. They look at, you live a different way. You have different beliefs. Listen, you can have doubts. You can have fears. You're still welcome to the house of God. You can have these things going on in your heart, but I'm here to tell you that you will not leave the same, that God will change your heart. And so God says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, right? But we quote that verse and we believe in coming together, but we do a lot of getting together rather than going together. But if we'll understand that God has called us to go together, we will see results. We will see a change. We will see transformation in people. Lord, help us to have more of a desire, more of an emphasis to reach people rather than reaching out to ourselves. See, you can't reach people in your head. You have to reach them in your neighborhood. I'll say that again. You can't reach people in your head. You've got to reach people in your neighborhood. And sometimes we as Christians, we try to convince ourselves that we actually do witness. We actually do. No, we just do it in our head. But if we'll be intentional, everybody say intentional. And you know what really excites me? Praise the Lord. I love the exciting message. And I love getting together with God's people and worshiping. But if we don't really put an emphasis on reaching people, you say, well, I don't like it because they cuss. Those are the ones you need to go to and reach. Well, I just can't stand those cuss. I just can't stand that cussing. They're going to cuss because they're sinners. They don't know God. They're going to do these things. But you've got to understand, wait a minute, I'm light and there's darkness. And if I walk over here, then that means that darkness has to flee. And I'm shining the light of Jesus Christ. But we make it look like that light can't defeat darkness. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. I can't stand it. Ooh, there's so much sin out there. Ooh. Of course there is. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a world that's been sin cursed, and it's all because of Adam and Eve's sin. But Jesus came so that he could have a body that will go forward, that will reach outside the walls of the church and shine the light, that they may that people may glorify the work. I'm getting tongue-tied. That they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Amen. Right. And so God is moving in our hearts. And I don't know about y'all, but I feel it in the spirit that God is moving in us to do more of an emphasis, to place more of an emphasis on reaching people rather than just focusing on insider things. Oh, Lord, don't let us be an insider church. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, don't let us have groups and cliques. Oh, God, deliver us from that. Lord, let us reach outside the doors and not just listen. You are listening. And you're called to love everybody, and you're called to like them too. Yeah. Hallelujah. You ever hear that? Well, I know we're supposed to love everybody, but I don't have to like them. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's just a statement that we make just to let people know, you know, I just don't know about that. Right? And it's interesting. And the greatest conversationalist was Jesus. He met the woman at the well. Prophesied, told her about her life. He had a conversation with her, asked her questions. He held a conversation. He was willing to ask questions and connect with her on a heart level. But we as the church, we are not called to lecture people to death and bore them to death. Amen, church. Hallelujah. I know this is a different message. But we are called, listen, we are called to actually converse with them and connect with them on a heart level, not just on a mind level and say, well, if you love God, you do this, 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 this. Wait a minute, if you'll show them the love of God and live the life in front of them and show them that they too can live a life that's pleasing to God. Listen, people, I hear this all the time. Pastor makes it look easy to serve God. You're not with me 24/7. Pastor makes it, he's up there preaching every Sunday morning, he preaches this, listen, it is not easy. You know what the secret, and it's really not a secret, but I'm going to say it like this. What is the secret of how I keep going, how I keep going, how I keep going? You say, well, you always say you're not perfect, Pastor. You're not, of course, I'm not perfect. Look at me. Of course, I'm not perfect, right? I'm not. Throughout the week, listen, I go through struggles. I deal with things. Listen, I deal with insecurities. I deal with fears. I even deal with doubts. And man, they confront me like crazy. Well, how do you keep going? Well, isn't that displeasing to God? Well, it doesn't surprise him. Hello. I mean, he's God. Right? Well, ain't that discipline? Listen, God's not surprised by these things. He knows me better than I know myself. He knows I'm going to think it before it even comes to me. He's God. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. Right? I deal with these things. You know how I keep going? Because he never gives up on me. Hallelujah. He never gives up on me. This is the reason why. Listen now, the pastor, the minister you're looking at makes mistakes. I know you don't. I make mistakes. But how do I keep going? Because he never gives up on me. Pastor, how can you deal with all this stuff and not walk away? I can't walk away. I don't walk away because he'll never walk away from me. And as a true believer in Christ Jesus, abandonment is not an issue I have to worry about. I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. When you fall, my hand is still out to you. Abandonment, forsaking, leaving, it's not something I have to deal with. I don't have to worry about it. What good would it be to be a Christian if you have to worry about God leaving you all the time? What good would it be to be a believer if you think, and if God wasn't with you, man, you would be eternally separated from Him. For the wages of sin is death, right? Death is eternal separation from God, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And as a believer, we have this assurance, but we're not supposed to sit on our blessed assurance. We're not supposed to sit on our blessed. We are supposed to stand, run like Philip. He ran to the chariot. Are we running to people? Are we running to people, or are we running to our own selfish needs? Are we running to people's needs? Are we running to people to give them the gospel? Or are we so concerned about ourselves that we're so unhappy and we're miserable because we're never content, we're never satisfied? But if you'll focus on reaching people and focusing on the vision and the mission of Jesus Christ, you won't have to worry about meeting your needs. God will meet your needs. God will meet your needs. And I love it because Philip, man, he's a preacher, a minister. And he left Samaria where there's all kinds of people getting saved. And he goes for one. You remember the parable of the 99, right? The parable of the 99. He leaves the 99. Jesus told it, the parable. Leaves the 99. A shepherd leaves the 99 sheep and goes after the one that's lost. Lord, deliver us. Because in our minds, especially those of us that have been saved for a while, we want to run to the crowd where all the action is going on. What about the person that's on the street corner? What about the person who's been hurt, that is down in sin, that has no hope for their life? What about that person? And for some reason, we think we live by what we see. There's a big crowd. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of lights. There's a lot of smoke. A lot of fog. A lot of these. Listen, it's not about that. It's about making disciples. It's not just about making events and getting things together to serve ourselves. It is about making disciples. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing? What are you? Philip left a citywide revival because God told him to. God told him to. Left it. What are you willing to walk away from in order to reach that one person? What are you willing to walk away from? Family, friends, people that need God, that need the gospel. Listen, we are called. We are called to go and reach people. And the Bible says in Proverbs 13:12, that desire fulfilled is a tree of life. People out there have a desire to connect with the church. They have a desire to connect with God. And if there are no people that are giving direction and guidance by going outside the walls, we're not fulfilling the mission that Jesus gave us. Amen. Not fulfilling the mission. And so God shows us in this scripture. Turn it to the next verse, please. And he reads the book of Isaiah. The place in this scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. That's Jesus. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened this. I love this. It's so simple. Opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Listen now. He didn't preach motivation. He didn't preach about works or anything. He just preached Jesus to him. Listen, ministers, you got ordained last week. Other ministers that are here, if you preach Jesus, you're doing okay. Listen, if people don't listen, don't worry. You've planted the seed. You've planted the Word of God. It will bring fruit. The Word of God that is planted will bring fruit. It will. And you preach Jesus to them. But some of us, we like to preach on how far people have fell short instead of mentioning Jesus. We mention how people fall short more than we do Jesus. But Jesus is the solution and Jesus is the answer. Of course, we've all failed. We've all sinned. We've all messed up. But there is Jesus who died for our sins and gave us his righteousness. Glory to God. Gave us eternal life. And I love it. I love this. Next verse. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? See, look, the eunuch already had the desire to be baptized. Philip didn't have to really talk him into it. He just preached Jesus. The desire was already there. He just needed a guide. There are people you know that have a desire, and you are called to be the guide. But you need to show up and make yourself available like Philip and be a guide to them and direct them. Because I'm telling you, when direction, when guidance meets desire, there's salvation. Amen, church. And so God is delivering us from the holy huddle, right? Into the sin-cursed world. And show them what holiness is truly all about. And holiness, who is Jesus, is the best person that ever happened to me. I hope he's the best person that's ever happened to you. Jesus Christ. And so the Lord wants us to grow. But growth will never happen if we're not willing to go after that one. After that one, we have to be willing to do that. Next verse. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe. Look here. Look. I believe. There's the confession. I believe. Let's say this together. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Man, there's power in that. There's power in that. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. It's through that confession that we are saved. Next verse. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord raptured, caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Now I can just put myself in that situation. Philip disappears, but he's rejoicing. The eunuch's rejoicing. So I don't know, it's just like, wow, okay, Philip's gone after he baptizes him. And now all the eunuch can do is just rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. How do you know that you're saved? How do you know that you've got it like the Bible says? How do you know that when you can rejoice no matter what other people say, no matter what's done, because you have a blessed assurance, you can say, this is my story. This is my song. I'm praising my Savior all the day long. And we have blessed assurance and abandonment. It's not something I really concern myself with because I believe in the promise of God. This is how I keep walking. And I hope you adopt this into your life too. How do you keep going, Brother Sam? How do you keep going, Pastor? How do you keep going? It's because he never gives up on me. That's how I keep going. You need to know I'm godly. Yes, you need to know. Pastor needs to be godly. But you need to know I'm human too. And when we understand that we are together in the body of Christ, we was in Sunday school this morning, life groups, and we brought up when Saul was persecuted on the road to Damascus, and Jesus stopped him and said, Saul, Saul, his name was Saul then, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Well, wait a minute, Jesus wasn't here in bodily form. Jesus was at the right hand of the Father. Why do you persecute me? Because we are the body of Christ. And if you're the body of Christ, abandonment is not something you need to concern yourself with, because the more you concern yourself with abandonment, and the more you concern yourself with, is God here? Is God with me? I don't know if he's with me. I don't know. You're entertaining doubt. You just need to go ahead and believe the word of God and start and stop trusting in your feelings and your emotions and start trusting in God. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is sight. We live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith. I don't live by feeling. I don't live by emotion. I don't live by what I see. I don't live by the crowd size, because I'm concerned with the one. You know why I'm concerned with the one? Hallelujah. Because if I was the only human being on the face of this earth, Jesus still would have picked me. Even if I was the only, even if you was the only one, Jesus still would have done it. Isn't that amazing? Woo! Makes me pretty happy. Hallelujah. The word of God, I love it. Amen.
Amen.
And he went on his way rejoicing. A desire. Do we have a desire to reach people? Philip was spirit-led. He was Christ-centered. He was willing to obey God. There are people out there that have the desire. Are you going to reach them? Now I'm going to switch this around. We've been people-focused in this message, but I'm going to focus on you right now. Do you really have a desire to obey God? Do you really have a desire to fish, to witness to people? If Jesus is the best person that ever happened to you, then wouldn't you want to show them how Jesus can be the best person that ever happened to them? Of course you would. So my plea to you and my challenge to you is, Lord, fix me. I need to stop being so critical and condemning. Lord, fix me. I had a man, my dad told me, he talked to somebody the other day and said, well, I just don't know if I can come to church because I want to live it. I want to live it, right? I want to live it before I come to church. I want to live the life. Of course you want to live the life. But church, listen, people in church are messy. They have messy lives. I know. We live messy lives. And for some reason we have this mentality of, we've got to get it all together before we can get into a building. It's just a building. And we've got to get it together before we come together in the building. We've got to get rid of that mentality. And we've got to make sure that those people don't have that mentality either. That we'll keep investing, that we'll keep loving, that we'll keep showing them mercy and grace and not be so wary and scared of the dark. Come on, you got the light of Jesus Christ in you.
Yes.
The light of Jesus. So I'm going to call you to come to the altar, and we're going to ask God, Lord, allow me to shine the light of Jesus in this world. Allow me, and you may hear this statement, if they'll hear you, if you can get them to listen to you, it's just people don't want to listen anymore. Well, if you'll stop preaching at them and hold a conversation with them and treat them like a human being, can I get an amen?
Amen.
And treat them like they are made in the image and likeness of God, we'll see things happen.
Right.
We are called to reach people. Y'all agree? Shout out amen if you agree.
Amen.
This altar call is for the believer. It's for the believer. Are we willing to sacrifice to reach people? Whatever it may be. It may be even through finance. It may be through finance. It may be through encouragement. Whatever it is, there are different ways, different methods that God uses us in order to reach people. Like fund missionaries, evangelists, All these things that we begin to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are we willing? Are we willing? Are we willing to leave what Philip left if God tells us to? You with me? To reach that one. This is why we exist. We don't just exist to meet together. Praise God. I'm so glad we can meet together. Or this right here wouldn't happen today. I wouldn't be with my family. But we are supposed to go and tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I never went to seminary. Doesn't matter. I haven't been saved a long time. Doesn't matter. The Samaritan woman, right when she got saved, she just went into the city of Samaria and said, come and see a man who told me all the things that I've ever did. You don't have to go. Listen, it's good to learn. It's good to get education. It's good to get these things. But my goodness, don't wait on those for qualification. Jesus qualified you. If you want God to help you, listen, do you believe, do you agree with me that prayer is the best thing that we can do? Is it the best discipline tool that we have? Absolutely. It's the best discipline tool we have. It's the best thing. Prayer, does prayer beat everything else? It does, doesn't it? So why not pray today and ask God, Lord, fix me that I may shine the light of Jesus in my life. Lord, I understand it's not about me and it's not about getting things done in my life. It's about reaching people and telling them about the love of Jesus Christ and shining the light. Who wants to shine the light of Jesus? If you do, while he sings, I want you to come up. You can kneel, you can stand and raise your hands, whatever you want to do. But I want you to come up. And I know everybody else is looking at everybody else saying, who's going to go first? But if you want to shine the light of Jesus, if you want to shine the light, if this is serious to you, praise God. Glory to God. Father, excuse me. Yes, God, Father. Lord, lead us and guide us. Lord, we want to be fishers of men. Lord, we want to follow you, God. We want to be able to direct people and guide people into the truth, into the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that this becomes real in our hearts, that this becomes real in our minds, Father. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, we praise you and give you glory. And Father, we pray that your glory will be on display in our hearts, in our minds, in our thought life, God, in our actions, in our conduct, Father. Lord, we pray that you'll baptize us with your Spirit and with your love and with your grace, God. Lord, that we will go forward looking unto you, the author and the finisher of our faith. We want to be able to say, God, that we have run the race, that we have finished the race, that we have, Lord, that we're going for you, God, standing on your word. Father, give us the confidence. Give us the grace. Anoint us, God, for such a time as this in the kingdom of God that we may reach people in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let us be able to lead, to love, and to liberate, God, so that we can launch out into the deep, so that we can be launched by the power and the direction and the guidance of the Holy Spirit reaching people for you, God. Give us souls, God. Give us souls. Give us souls, God, that we'll see people saved. Give us that desire, God. Don't let us get sidetracked. Holy Spirit, don't let us get sidetracked by other things and the things of this world. But Lord, let us keep our focus on you and reaching others for your glory. Hallelujah. We thank you. Let's just begin to pray right now and just ask the Lord to help us in this area of our lives. And whatever need you may have, let's just focus on the Lord while he's singing.